round the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which hurt and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinfulness thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee. Perfect in glory, love and purity. Shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Good morning. Welcome to worship on this 19th Sunday of Pentecost. Welcome to those listening in on the radio as well this morning. Everything that you'll need for our worship service is printed in your bulletin, other than the hymns, which are listed in the bulletin, but everything else is in your bulletin this morning. We begin with the order for confession and forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sin to God, who is faithful and just, and who has promised to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, have mercy on us. We confess to you that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not trusted you with our whole heart. We have not loved one another in deed and in truth. In your compassion, forgive our sin, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our light and our truth. Amen. With joy, I proclaim to you that Almighty God, rich in mercy, abundant in love, forgives you all your sin, and grants you new life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy for the reign of God and for peace throughout the world. For the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy
for your people here who have come to give you praise. For the strength to live your world, let us pray to the Lord.
Have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God. Amen.
Celebration,
all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast
feast of the Lamb once slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people of God. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings with joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
Power and riches, wisdom and might, all honor and glory to Christ forever.
Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. For God has come to dwell with us, to make us people of God, to make all things new. Now the feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all the suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 22. The same night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will recite Psalm 121 responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy, starting chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise as you're able for singing of the gospel verse as printed on the top of page 6.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any children to come forward for the children's message. Thanks for coming up this morning. So, do you have any favorite books at home? Have you ever had a favorite book? Yeah. Do you have any favorite stories? Maybe. Well, I know when my kids were young, I have a son and a daughter, they had favorite books and they had favorite stories. And there was one or several books in particular that kind of got worn out. The binding on the sides kind of wore off and kind of the pages kind of got crippled, maybe a little torn, because they were so well used and the stories were so well loved. In our lesson from Timothy this morning, it talks about things that were learned that tell us about Jesus when we were children. I'm guessing that most of you know a song from your childhood, which is now, and I'm betting that the people out there know a song from their childhood as well. Can you guess what song I might be thinking of? The one I'm thinking of is Jesus Loves Me. So, can you help me lead off in singing that? And we'll see if they can join us in as we sing it, okay? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's one of those songs that was sung over and over again and kind of got ingrained or memorized into our mind so that we can recall that story of how much Jesus loves us and who Jesus is. and repeating is a good way to learn things, but there's another word that talks about learning things as well in our gospel for today, and that was the word persistence. Any idea what persistence means? Have you ever been persistent about anything? Sure about it, kind of? Well, you may be keeping sure until you get your way. There's a sense where persistence is doing the same thing over and over or asking for something to happen and being regular and consistent about that. And the woman in today's gospel was persistent. She was continually coming before a judge asking for her justice because she had been treated wrongly. And eventually, because of her persistence, the judge granted what it was that she was asking for. What is something that we do when we come up here for Children's Message every week, irregardless of whether it's Karen that's doing the Children's Message or Lisa or someone else? We talk. What else? We pray. And that's the thing that I was thinking of, that we're talking about persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer is coming before God's presence, asking God whatever it is that's on our hearts. It might be a prayer of thankfulness. It might be a prayer of concern for someone you care about, for someone you love. But prayer is a way that we talk to God, and we know that God is there for us and will listen to us. Will you join me in prayer, please? Gracious God, help us to be persistent, to continually come and pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's a persistent shape? A rhombus? Yeah? Well, I'm kind of thinking along the same lines. I was thinking of a, what? Quadrilateral? Something that keeps going around and around? Well, I thought of, kind of keeping it simple, I just thought of a circle. Being persistent is something that just keeps going around and around, and that's what we do with our prayers, is keep coming into God's presence with them. So that's our shape for the cookie this morning. Thanks for coming up. I invite the congregation to join in singing our hymn for the day, or our next hymn, Day by Day, number 790.
Presence here to guide me.
You may be seated. Sorry about that. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. What is your prayer life like? Is it the beginning point of everything that you do? It's at the core of who we are. It's how we stay connected with God and try to discern God's will. It's how we open our hearts to God. It's how we entrust everything that's important to us to God's care. I'm convinced that we believe that. I'm also convinced that many of us would appreciate it if our prayer lives were more vibrant, including myself. As committed as we might be to daily prayer, most of us are aware of the need to grow in the frequency of our prayers, the intensity of our praying, and the trust that we put in God to answer our prayers. It's kind of like a story that J.K. Johnston tells about a small town that had been historically dry. But then a local business owner decided to build the tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck. Lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not at fault. The presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated, "No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not." If that judge were considering our commitment to prayer here at Petersburg Lutheran, what sort of conclusion do you think would be reached? If we're a typical Christian congregation in this country, the answer might be that we're more like the church than the tavern owner. Yet I know that we all want to grow deeper in our faith and in our prayer lives. St. Luke tells us in this parable about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. You've heard the story for sure before. A woman has suffered an injustice, but the local judge refuses to do anything about it. The woman decides to argue her case and goes to the judge day after day. Eventually, the judge is so worn out by her constant complaints that he decides to give her justice, not because he cares anything at all about justice, but because her persistence is driving him crazy. This woman reminds me of a postcard that my wife received recently that hangs on our fridge. It's a simple black and white card with the phrase printed on it, "Well-behaved women seldom make history." It could be argued that the woman in this parable has made history, but it's not because she isn't well-behaved. It's because she's persistent. This courageous widow is embarrassing the judge, calling into question his reputation with her case, literally giving him a black eye. She is, to borrow the popular phrase, speaking truth to power. Jesus compares God to the judge in this parable, but the real point of comparison is one of contrast. God is, in fact, not like this reluctant, responsive judge. God doesn't need to be badgered into listening. God listens willingly. If anything, God's more like the widow in her own relentless commitment to justice. Today, women persist despite inequalities and injustice. Worldwide, women persistently and successfully care for their families, communities, and congregations. For example, more than 50 years ago, persistent women were first ordained as Lutheran pastors in the United States. God steadfastly hears persistent prayers of his people. God persistently cares when people are vulnerable, disregarded, and in need. God commands us to be like this parable's widow and persist in our efforts to advocate for a society that is just and equal for all. Persistence stands at the heart of this parable. But Jesus doesn't teach that as long as we're persistent, we can convince God to do anything we want. Imagine what the world would be like if God gave them everything that each one asked for in their prayer. Whose prayer would take precedence over someone else's? Instead, in this parable, Jesus says that if a corrupt judge grants justice because of a woman's persistent petitions, how much more will God respond to our prayers for justice? After all, God is very much concerned about justice. That's clear throughout the Bible. Whenever powerful people ignore the plight of vulnerable people, God becomes upset. Whenever clever landowners swindle less sophisticated landowners, God becomes upset. Whenever political or religious leaders take advantage of their position, God becomes upset. Justice lies very close to God's heart. When believers bring their petitions to God, justice in the end will be granted. However, we may long for it to happen sooner, as the wheels of justice sometimes turn slowly. You know that we live in the midst of an incredibly complicated international relationships and businesses. Many of the products we purchase for our day-to-day lives are available to us because of systems that take advantage of vulnerable people in this and other countries. Take, for instance, the morning cup of coffee that many of us enjoy. Although the tide is shifting in some markets, there are still countries where peasant farmers slave away in the fields without receiving fair compensation for their labor. We drink a lot of Mount Meru coffee here at Petersburg Lutheran. I'm quite sure that there are cheaper brands of coffee that we could find, but many of those brands take advantage of the systems that keep wages lower for the local bean grower. In the end, prices can be lower for you and me, but paying a bit more for coffee is worth it if it means that others are treated more fairly. It's a justice issue, and one that God calls us to take seriously. To be honest, I haven't made the switch from cheaper coffee to Mount Meru coffee yet. I'm getting a little closer. I'm a work in progress. But as you know, justice has a lot more to do than just coffee. It has to do with how people are treated due to their gender or their race or sexual orientation or in other ways that the world discriminates. It has to do with all that we do or purchase. For instance, who makes our clothing? What sorts of work conditions do they find themselves in? Who harvests our food? What kind of medical care is available to them? Who assembles our children's toys? How much are they paid? What sort of impact do our lifestyles have on the air and water that sustain our planet? These are all questions of justice. In many cases, for justice to be done, it may call for you and me to make changes in the way we live. It may mean that we speak out on behalf of those who are oppressed, those seeking a place to call home. We pray that God might make us aware of the injustices of the world and give us the courage to right them. We pray that God might help us realize the strengths we've been given, our economic, political, and social strengths, strengths that have been entrusted to us so that we might become God's agents for justice in this world. It's hard to live with this kind of awareness. It's painful to realize the impact we may have on other people's lives. Perhaps that's why we need to pray so persistently. Perhaps it's only with our daily heartfelt prayers that God can transform us into people whose lives promote justice and equality for all. It's said that early African converts to Christianity were earnest and regular in prayer. In one region of that country, each person reportedly had a small spot in the thicket where he or she would pour their heart out to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well-worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it soon became apparent to the others. They would kindly remind the negligent one, "Friend, the grass grows on your path." You and I need to be diligent in our prayer life as well. It's difficult to keep praying when we don't see quick results. We're tempted to give up on prayer. Martin Luther knew that. He spoke of seeing his dog at the dinner table, waiting expectantly for some morsel from his master. The dog would sit at attention, every fiber of his body focused on his master, hoping for a bit of food. If you have a dog, you've probably witnessed that. During dinner, you have the dog's rapt, unwavering attention. Luther said, "If only I could pray the way the dog watches the meat." Wouldn't that be great to pray with that kind of intensity? The path to our place of prayer needs to be well-worn as we pray for God to change in this world, change in our hearts, change in the lives of those who suffer injustice. Today's parable tells us that the quest for justice for all is never over for people of faith. May God guide us in our praying and through our faithfulness May God see that justice is done. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for our next hymn, number 723.
My spirit sings of the wondrous things that you bring to the ones who wait. You find your sight on your servant's plight, and my weakness you did not spurn. So from east to west shall my name be blessed, could the world be about to turn. My heart shall sing of the day you bring. Let the fires of your justice burn. Wipe away all tears, for the dawn draws near, and the world is about to turn. Though I am small, my God, my all, you work great things in me. And your mercy will last from the depths of the past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts a proud to shame, and to those who would for you yearn. You will show your might, put the strong to flight, for the world is about to turn.